Once again, it's Kiefer. I am backstage at Bonnaroo, and I've been joined by Drew Holcomb, who fronts Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors. Welcome. Thank you, Mr. First. Thank you so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'll get it spit out here in just a little bit.
It's early.
Your latest record called Good Light, somebody said it's essentially a love letter written to your wife, your baby, and the state of Tennessee, your home state of Tennessee. I think most people can wrap their brain around love for a child, love for a wife, but what does it mean as a musician to come from a state like Tennessee that's given us so much music over the years, and specifically your hometown of Memphis that has a history of music a mile long?
Yeah. You know, I think for me, it's easy in kind of the, you know, postmodern 21st century world to kind of think that place doesn't really matter, you know, and it's not only like a love letter to the state as a musical place, but also just kind of, I had a pretty awesome childhood growing up in Memphis, surrounded by a lot of cousins and lived down the street from my grandparents. And so, you know, music, it was kind of like this, you know, the soundtrack to what I would consider like a pretty great first couple decades that I really had nothing to do with. I kind of was, you know, born into this pretty cool family, you know, and got to enjoy that. And, you know, my dad introduced me to a lot of the kind of Memphis soul stuff. That was kind of some of his favorite records. And so, you know, I remember the first show I ever went to that wasn't like a, you know, something I went to with my parents was, I think I was 17, and these guys were not much older than me. Lucero was playing the High Tone, and I snuck in. It was a 21 and up venue, and those guys were probably all 23 to 25. And I went, you know, and saw them. And so I kind of immediately like got to kind of attach, you know, myself just as a, even as a fan to this kind of, you know, cool things happening musically outside of just like the Elvis and Stax history stuff. So, you know, then I moved to Knoxville, and Knoxville's got such a great music scene. You know, obviously, you know, the AC folks there have always done a great job of bringing great shows to Knoxville. And so I drive over to Asheville and see, you know, folks at the Orange Peel, and then they had this thing called Sundown in the City, which is free shows, you know, in town. And so I was just, you know, it was also a lot of bands that weren't from Tennessee, but my fellow Tennesseans and I seemed to really embrace the idea of music and going to see live music. And so it's really what kind of, you know, injected me with the idea that I wanted to do it, was just seeing so much great live music and you know, in all three of my Tennessee hometowns, Memphis, Knoxville, and Nashville.
Well, that leads me to my next question. In listening to your music, you seem, you know, you've got, you know, what I like to call kind of hill music. You've got soul, you've got blues, you've got rock and roll. And it seems to represent a lot of the music that has come out of the state. And I wondered if regionalism played a lot into what you play, or is this just what happens when you pick up a guitar?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a mixture of both. I mean, I don't necessarily sit down and go, oh, I want to write a song that is reminiscent of, like, you know, the Carter family, East Tennessee stuff. And I don't necessarily sit down and write a song, oh, I want to write a song that's kind of influenced by Memphis blues, you know, or whatever. But I do think that just, you know, if you spend 30 years kind of letting your ears marinate in a certain kind of sea of music, then that tends to be what kind of comes out. And so for me, it was always about the song. You know, I think all those different genres, you know, kind of from where I come from, all kind of focus around a song and a great vocal delivery of that song. And so if I had been born somewhere else, I'm sure that, you know, the music that I would make, if I made music at all, would be quite different, you know. But, you know, I don't necessarily have like a, I don't know if I'm super, and I'm not intentional about sitting down and writing a song that with echoes of particular, you know, genres and regionalism, but I think it just is automatic that it happens for me that way.
Folks who may not realize that they may have heard your music, you've had a lot of placement in television shows, commercials. I just want to read off some of the list here. Parenthood, Deadliest Catch, How I Met Your Mother, House, One Tree Hill. That's a pretty wide spectrum of songs.
It is.
Plus, you had a tune used in a really, really cool NBA commercial. Out of all those, was there a favorite placement of your music that you liked and why?
Yeah. I think the first time your music gets used in a way that kind of really stirs, and we've had placements that, you know, are kind of background use and didn't really showcase what we do. But the first time that happened was with Parenthood. They used a song called Live Forever off of our two albums ago, an album called Chasing Someday. And they, you know, used it in this really like kind of emotional scene where they dropped everything out except for the music. And it was like this slow motion montage. And it was this kind of intense moment where this family, you know, the family was going through something hard, but then they were kind of remembering what they had, you know, with each other. And It was just, you know, kind of a sad scene, but Ellie and I were like, you know, in the living room, like, yes, this is so great. And it got us kind of hooked on the show. I'd say that one, and then probably the use in the NBA commercial was really cool, you know.
The commercial won an award, didn't it?
It did. It won an Emmy for, like, you know, best, I don't know what you call it, best short, best sports short. Yeah.
Because it kind of came across, if I remember correctly, almost like a mini documentary.
Yeah, they had like, it was the season that they had, you know, the short season because of the strike. And so the first game was on Christmas Day, and they used the lyric in the song says something about Christmas Day. And they used that and kind of did a montage of using like old video footage of retired and passed away players with the current players. And it, you know, it was a fairly emotional thing if you're a basketball fan.
One of the things we're doing here at Bonnaroo this year is talking album art, and let's start with the cover of Good Light. Tell me what the idea was behind it. It's the band in front of a white picket fence.
Yeah.
And is that you jumping and clicking your heels?
That is. That's me. So that's in East Nashville. It's on Forest Avenue, which is like a couple blocks from where we live, and our photographer friend, we kind of got in the van. We were just driving all over the neighborhood taking photos kind of for the new album and publicity shots and all that stuff. And at the time, we had no idea what the record was going to be like. We hadn't even started recording it yet. And we're walking in that fence. I just saw this fence and this, like, blue sky. And I was like, hey, let's stop here. You get on one side of the street. And we had taken, like, four or five shots that was kind of looking a little bit like we were ripping off Abbey Road. We're just walking in order, you know. And so I was like, this is cool. But so all of a sudden he's like, all right, just keep going. I just took off towards him and jumped in the air and clicked the heels, and he got the perfect shot. And as soon as we saw the photos, we were like, I don't know what the album is even called yet, but that is the album picture, you know. And it ended up being working out pretty cool, because I think, you know, our record's kind of a mixture of like nostalgia and hope and dealing with disappointment and all the things that kind of come along with your late 20s and early 30s. And, you know, I think that's kind of me jumping up, kind of holding on to youth a little bit as I get a little older, maybe. I don't know what to read into it, but that's what I think about when I see it.
But you nailed the heel click on the first try?
I've been known for my heel clicks for a long time. I can even do a double if I take a deep breath and really go for it.
Well, you mentioned Abbey Road. We're also asking musicians and artists as they come through here, pick out your favorite Beatles album, and we're talking about the album cover. And if you want to tell us musically what your favorite Beatles album, that's cool. But what's the album cover that you've always just been drawn to?
I love my favorite record of the Beatles is Rubber Soul, but it's not my favorite album art, not even maybe top five, but I think the With the Beatles one is especially, I love the stark contrast of the black and the white faces. And they look really young, but they're like really serious. And I feel like it's just a great foreshadowing of like, we're gonna change the way things happen here. And I don't know, that's a neat, even Paul's got a pretty serious face on, which is unusual for him. So pretty cool. I love that one. They're all great though. I mean, whoever did their artwork was always pretty thoughtful about it. The Let It Be one's really cool. Just, I love studio shots, you know, in the four square. You can't really go wrong. Magical Mystery Tour is a little bit of a strange album art. But don't tell Paul I said that.
So we've established that Drew likes all the Beatles
albums. I'll stick with the Beatles. That's my favorite. That's my favorite.
The new album is called Good Light. Drew, thank you so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we are backstage at Bonnaroo.